Malachi chapter 3, that's the last book in the Old Testament part of your Bible. And we will read just the one verse, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now look in Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 13. And again, just the one verse, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. In the first passage, we read of an unchangeable God. In this verse, we have read of an unchangeable Savior, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. Now read in 1 Peter, please, chapter 1 of the first epistle of Peter. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, that is, not by natural birth, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The unchangeable scriptures, enduring forever. Now one final reading in the last book in your Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Revelation and chapter 22, verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Verse 11, an unchangeable condition for all eternity. Now, in closing the gospel meeting tonight, I would like to try and direct the attention to these unchangeable, dependable things. Things that we can depend on. In a world that's filled with change. Some people look upon change as progress. On occasion it is. On occasion it is deterioration. But when we come to spiritual things, thank God, they never change. They are dependable because of their source. First of all, we have an unchangeable God, an unchangeable Savior. My, how that gives peace to those who have trusted Christ. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. What a blessed Savior. I once spoke to a dear man knocking door to door, and I asked him what he knew about God. Well, he spoke of God, of course, as Allah, and he said that he believed in the prophet of Allah. So I asked him, where was he? Oh, he said, he's dead. And we have his tomb in such and such a place, and we worship towards that place. He was God's prophet. Well, I said, you know the difference between you and me? I said, the man who is your mediator between you and God is dead and mine's living. Oh, he said, what do you mean? Well, I said, God said there's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And he's living. So I have a living mediator who makes me acceptable with God. And thank God, friend, he's still living tonight. He's an unchangeable Savior. Then we read of the unchangeable scriptures, the foundation for man's faith. And then we read of the unchangeable condition of every individual in the whole of this world. They will either be in either of the two conditions that we have read of tonight, unchangeable forever. Don't you ever be deceived into thinking that you will come back in another form into this world. We have read of a very simple verse, one of a multitude of verses in the Word of God that declares very plainly that when a man dies, he goes to his long home, and his condition as he dies is unchangeable. If he dies in his sin, we read, he that is filthy, he will be filthy still, unchangeable. He that is righteous, he will be righteous still. Heaven or hell, forever, unchangeable. Now I want to notice just two things about God that are unchangeable. Now I hope, for my friend, tonight that that will speak to you. It may bring you concern. The thought that God is unchangeable. He's not a little rubber stick like people would like him to be, you know, that they can bend him into all these forms. You know, the little children, my little grandson, he has one of those little rubber sort of a critters, you know, and they can bend him any old way and he'll stay that way. He's just rubber, you know, and they bend him, plastic, I guess, and then you can bend his arms and bend his legs and he'll stay that way. Well, I want to tell you, friend, God's not that way. God is unchangeable. He has declared his character. He has declared and revealed his person in the man Christ Jesus. And what God revealed himself to be, he ever was, and he ever shall be. Now let me point out to you, first of all, that God is unchangeable in his holiness. There is absolutely no change in God's attitude towards sin in 1986 than there was when Achan disobeyed only one commandment and he died. He sought to hide his sin, but no sin may be hidden from the eye of God. And God made him dig it up. He dug a hole and hid it in his tent. He stole. God made him dig it up. And he had to die. And I want to say, my friend, the same God that judged Achan will judge sinners. The day in which we are living is a day of great patience and mercy and grace from the God of heaven. But the day of reckoning is coming. He's an unchangeable God. His holiness will never permit sin to go unpunished. But I would like to remind you as well that God is unchangeable in his power. When you think of the mighty power of God in creation, it was expressed in the life of the Lord Jesus. He stood one day in a rocking boat on a stormy sea, and he spoke to the wind. And he spoke to the waves, and there was a great calm, a miracle. You and I know well that the wind may die, but the waves don't die immediately. But they did that day because the Creator spoke. And I say to you tonight, my friend, the God with whom you and I have to do has not changed in his power. He has power to change lives. He has power to save souls. And he has power to cast into hell. And he has never changed. God is unchangeable in his love. He cannot change. My, what a comfort to the gospel preacher. What a comfort to sinners. God cannot change in his love. That precious verse that hangs behind me here to my right hand, John 3:16. Let me tell you, friend, the truth of that verse will be appreciated and realized unchangeable forever and ever. There never will come a time when God will cease to love the world. But there will come a time when you will die in this world, perhaps never having come to know the blessing of that love. But it will not change God. God loves the world tonight. What a great God we have to present. He's unchangeable. Dear friend, tonight you may go to hell, but you will never go to hell unloved. For God, in the fullness of his infinite person, he chose to love you. That's why he gave you the breath of life. Have you ever asked yourself, young man, why was I not stillborn? Why did God give me life anyway? I'll tell you why. Because he wants to save you and have you forever with himself in glory, that you might enjoy him and he might enjoy you. That's why he gave you breath and a sound mind. Are you going to waste it for the devil and die and go to hell? The unchangeable God. That unchangeable God you must meet someday. An unchangeable Savior. Hebrews 13:8. But the presentation of the Lord Jesus in the epistle to the Hebrews is very, very precious. But I'm not going to take up that book tonight in any fashion. What I want to try and notice with you are three things about the Lord Jesus that never change. First of all, I would like you to think, my friend, that his words never change. His words. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he spoke words of mercy to sinners that deserve to be in hell. He spoke words of grace and forgiveness to people that knew they deserved to be in hell. People with broken characters. People unfaithful in a marriage bond. People who were murderers and thieves. And the Lord Jesus spoke words of mercy and forgiveness to them. My, that's rich grace. Rich grace. Thank God the words of the Lord Jesus haven't changed. We can tell you tonight, friend, though I know not your character, and I sincerely hope there's no one here with the dark blotches in your character of which I have been speaking, but I want to say to you, we can say to you with all our heart, the words of the Lord Jesus are the same tonight. There's forgiveness of sin. The Lord Jesus has power on earth to forgive sins. His words have not changed. John 5:24, those lovely words that fell from the lips of the Lord Jesus. Listen to them, friend. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth God that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. And friend, those words are as good tonight as when they were first spoken. They're unchangeable. Blessed be God. Oh, friend, with all confidence, we can set before you tonight a Savior which can never change. And his work is the same. His work can be depended on today just as men depended on it who saw it happen. His work for salvation. That's the mighty reason, friend, the purpose for which the Son of God was made flesh, born of a virgin, moved amongst mankind, and yielded himself to the hands of cruel, vile, ignorant men, to be beat, to be bruised and torn and spit on,
and crucified, agonizingly to die, why did he yield thus? In order to accomplish the mighty work for our salvation, a work which we could never do, a work far too lofty for man to do. A sinner's hands could never reach so high. A sinner's heart could never give devotion so deep and true. The Son of God must do it. And he did it, friend, upon the cross. And dear John, who stood by the cross that day, and he saw the blood flow from the hands of the Savior in willing devotion upon the cross, in devotion to God, because of Christ's delight in doing God's will and providing salvation, and in devotion to men like us. Oh, what a mercy! It ought to cause the fountain of tears in every heart to flow to think that Jesus loved me enough to die for me. And dear John, as he saw that fountain opened in the precious blood of Christ, he writes these words, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." That's what does the work. And my friend, that precious blood has lost none of its sin-cleansing power. It is the same today as yesterday. He's an unchangeable Savior. His work is still valid with God. God seeks no other work from you. He looks for nothing from the sinner, for the sinner has nothing to give. And the Lord Jesus has provided heaven, provided God with all that is required that sinful, dying, frail men like us in our unworthiness might be righteously and eternally and freely saved from judgment and fit for heaven. What a Savior. And friend, he's just as capable and dependable today as he was yesterday. He's unchangeable. Thank God. And I want to remind you, dear sinner, in this meeting, should there be one who would be anxious to know such a great Savior as their own and have your burden lifted and your sins forgiven and to know it, I want to tell you the Savior's welcome is just the same today as it was then. My, I see the Lord Jesus as he sits on a rooftop with Nicodemus. And it does not surprise me at all that when we get home to heaven, we'll find that when John 3:16 was spoken from the lips of the Son of God for the first time, that's when dear Nicodemus received eternal life, when he fit into that verse. Dear man, I wait to ask him. That'll be a great day. I'd like to know that. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit. But let me say to you, my friend, the welcome of John 3:16 for Nicodemus is just as valid today. His welcome is just the same. He's unchangeable. He hasn't changed, my friend. Thank God for an unchangeable Savior. For God so loved the world. Is that not big enough to take you in? That he gave his only begotten Son. I ask you, sinner, is that not provision enough to meet your need? That whosoever believeth in him, is that not personal enough for you tonight? And I want to ask you, is this not assurance enough? He shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And friend, as we close the meeting, that welcome of the Lord Jesus is unchanged. It's just as good tonight as it was when Nicodemus sat with the Savior on the rooftop in the darkness of the night. And John 3:16 was opened up to that poor sinful Jew, a self-righteous religious man. But no man, no matter how he patches his life, is ever fit for heaven. He must have eternal life from the Savior. And my friend, the welcome that the Lord Jesus gave to Zacchaeus, that little man that climbed the tree that day. And when the Lord Jesus looked into the tree, he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down." My, I love to think of it. That's another man I look forward to meeting in heaven. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Zacchaeus, remember the day you shinnied down the tree? My friend, tonight, I want to say to you, when Zacchaeus came down that tree, and the Lord Jesus and Zacchaeus embraced one another at the bottom of that tree, that's the word that's used in Luke chapter 19, they embraced one another. My, what a precious scene. And my friend, I want to tell you tonight, in all your need, if you'll turn to the Lord Jesus in response to His invitation, your welcome will be equal to Zacchaeus. He's just the same. He hasn't changed. He'll take you just like you are. He doesn't ask you to understand. He doesn't ask you to figure out. He doesn't ask you to learn more. The Lord Jesus doesn't ask you to do anything. He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And the moment, my friend, that you take the word of the unchangeable Savior, His salvation will be yours. The unchangeable scriptures, 1 Peter chapter 1, how blessed it is to know that the Word of God is unchangeable. Men have tried to change it. Men have tried to cut it all up into pieces. They can't do a thing with it. That precious volume of divine revelation has stood the test of ages. It has stood the test of the critic. It has stood the test of men that have hated it. They've burned it. They've cut it up. They've slain the men that printed it. But the Word of God remains the same. My friend, tonight, when I think of dear Abraham, my dear Abraham, he only had 5 words from God, just 5 words, when he was 90 years of age, that God would give him a son. Well, you say the man would have to be almost mental, wouldn't he, to believe that? No, not when God says it. That made all the difference when God said it. Abraham took 5 words. And you know, he had to wait 10 years. 10 years for that to be fulfilled. But it didn't change it. Time doesn't change God's word. Not a bit, friend. You could rest on the word of God as the assurance of your everlasting salvation. And 10 years from now, it'll still be the same. Thank God, still the same. I think of the nation of Israel as an example of the dependability, unchangeableness of the Word of God. Dear Daniel received a revelation, a prophetic revelation from God concerning 490 years. And in Nehemiah chapter 2 is when the clock began to count. And 483 of those years ran their course consecutively until the day that the Lord Jesus came into Jerusalem to go to Calvary. Just like the prophecy said, right to the day, right to the day. Unchangeable Word of God. My friend, there isn't a detail in the Word of God that's out of place. There is not one word that's not dependable. My friend, the Word of God is unchangeable, and you can rest your soul upon it. The Apostle John, when he writes to the believers of that day, he says to them, 1 John 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. My, you think of those early believers. How did they ever know they had eternal life? Eternal life isn't something you can handle and see. You can't see eternal life. You can't even feel it, even if you've got it. Can't feel it. How do I know that I have it? Because it's written. That's how I know I've got it. Because it's written. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. My friend, tonight, that word can never change. Come the storms of death itself, that word will never alter the unchangeable scriptures. Oh, friend, that's what you need tonight for assurance. Don't look for a feeling for assurance. Don't look for some type of a thing to happen to you for assurance. You look to the unchangeable Word of God. Multitudes will fill heaven with the praise and the echo of the choir of glory with these blessed words. Thou art worthy, for thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. What did those people have from all the ages that have come to trust God's word about the value of the blood of Christ for their salvation? They have the assurance, and heaven is going to be filled with men that rested on the unchangeable word of God.
As I close, friend, I do want to remind you of an unchangeable condition. If you question, or I should reason with and doubt, the Savior or His Word, you will die as you were born, and you will be in hell. That's what the Bible reveals. A sinner, his only due, his rightful portion, is the lake of fire. For sin is rebellion against God. And you miss the Lord Jesus as your Savior for whatever reason. And friend, God says, him that is filthy, he will be filthy still. There never will come a time, oh friend, let it touch your heart tonight. If you miss the Lord Jesus tonight, from that moment onward, there never will come a time when you will be anything else but a filthy sinner in the lake of fire. How solemn. Never change. Never. 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 Never and never. For all the ages of eternity. Filthy. Lost. Damned. Never to change. What an awful portion. Be wise tonight. Take God at His word, friend, that you need the Lord Jesus. And thank God we can tell you He's available in all the fullness of His work and of His willingness to save sinners. And the soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, He never, no never, deserts to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, He'll never, no never, no never forsake. Oh, that this night you might recognize God has said it. I believe it. That's the assurance of God's salvation. Let us pray. O God in heaven, we would earnestly invoke Thy blessing upon Thy spoken word tonight. We thank Thee for the honor of telling it out. We recognize that we have not been able to do so as we would like to, but we thank Thee, Lord, we can turn mankind to Thy holy word, the revelation of divine spiritual truth, and we sincerely desire that this night sinners might find the Lord Jesus for themselves. Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. From condemnation He hath made me free. O God, tonight we do pray that some soul may find our Savior too. We look to Thee for blessing upon Thy word. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen. Sing a verse, please, of number 25. We thank you again for coming tonight.